Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive, another day of the off-season conditioning program for the players here. About 55, 60 players here for workouts voluntarily over the rest of this week until Thursday. And they did their thing this morning as they do a trade in the NFL, a pretty good-sized trade. Seattle Seahawks have traded away defensive end Frank Clark, their franchise player. Tagged him a couple of weeks ago. He gets traded to the Kansas City Chiefs for a first-round pick this year, Kansas City's first-round pick, 29th overall, a second-round pick next year from Kansas City, and they'll flip third-round picks this year. That trade not yet confirmed by either side, but it is reported by NFL Network and by ESPN. Frank Clark, defensive end, who is in the middle of a contract dispute with Seattle, goes to Kansas City for a first-rounder this year and a second-rounder next year. The Arizona Cardinals and five other teams open their voluntary mini-camps today, teams with brand-new head coaches now in the next phase of their offseason conditioning. The Cardinals with Cliff Kingsbury, the Bengals with new head coach Zach Taylor, the Browns with new head coach Freddie Kitchens, Green Bay with Matt LaFleur, and the Jets with Adam Gase. Tampa Bay opens a three-day veteran minicamp today as well. They run this week leading into the draft. In the draft, there's news about Rashawn Gary, the Michigan defensive lineman. He has a shoulder that's been flagged by various NFL medical departments. NFL Network reports that the injury is a labral tear in his shoulder from college. Most believe he can play this season, then possibly have surgery afterwards. The injury would likely have to be managed or harnessed throughout this rookie season. Very similar, they say, to the injury suffered by the Bills' Shaq Lawson a couple of years ago. And the Los Angeles Chargers have picked up the fifth-year option on Joey Bosa. The pass rush specialist keeps him in powder blue for the Chargers through the 2020 season. Couple of Game 7s in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. One of them in Boston. The Leafs and the Bruins play Game 7, 7 o'clock face-off tonight in Boston. And then late tonight, 10 o'clock, the San Jose Sharks home against Vegas, Game 7 of that series. And the Bisons continue their series at Syracuse tonight, first pitch 6:35. That's the update from One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker coming to you. We'll have the answer for that little trivia challenge I did before the top of the hour in a moment. But right now we want to get to the hotline because joining us on the line, a good friend of the show, NFL Network analyst. He played 11 seasons in the NFL, including a cup of coffee here with the Buffalo Bills. He does Baldy's breakdowns on NFL.com. Great video breakdowns of some of these draft prospects. Happy to have Brian Baldinger on the show with us. Brian, John Murphy, and Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Are you still in L.A.? I know you're doing a lot of work on the network out there this week, right?
I've been out there for the last 6 weeks. Murph, wow. I'm heading back out tomorrow. So we'll be doing a lot of shows from out there, kind of getting the day started on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and then kind of throwing it to Nashville with everybody that's there.
Yeah, just like everybody else, you're neck deep in the draft, right? And you're headed to Nashville. How long are you going to be in Nashville? For all 3 days of the draft, or are you going to be there a day on either end?
No, I'm actually just going to be in L.A., Steve. So we've got all our other, you know, Daniel Jeremiah and everybody else, Rich Eisen, all those guys will be in Nashville. So they got somebody's got to man the mothership there in Los Angeles. So
you're the guy.
My duties here. Yeah.
Hey, Brian, what do you think of the trade? Seattle sends away Frank Clark to Kansas City and gets their first rounder and a second rounder. What do you make of that trade?
Well, I think it's a good trade. I mean, they were going to have to make a decision on Frank. You know, I mean, they just paid Russell Wilson $35 million a year. It's going to make it difficult, you know, to sign other guys. It's a draft deep in defensive linemen. I'm sure that Seattle looks like they can restock with, you know, a bunch of new picks and high picks. And, you know, Kansas City is going to get an elite player to replace Justin Houston and Dee Ford, who left in free agency. So I think it's a trade that actually benefits both teams right now.
And we were talking during the break, Steve and I, about, and I guess it's obvious, but, boy, the Chiefs are clearly in win-now mode, aren't they? They probably see that window just good for another year or two at this point. What do you think? What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, they got the league MVP.
Right.
And, you know, and so Patrick Mahomes still has 3 years left on his rookie deal. I think, you know, you try and do everything you can to, you know, to win as many games, give yourself the best chance possible to make a run, you know, when you got a guy on a rookie deal that's that level of a player. So, you know, you got to, they're going to end up having to pay him, you know, in next year, a year after that. So they might as well try and, you know, be as competitive as they come. They brought in Steve Spagnuolo to take over the defense. He's a four-man front defensive coordinator, and you get a guy like Frank Clark. I mean, it's a heck of a piece, you know, to plug into that defense right now.
And it leaves with the Seattle Seahawks with the 21st pick in the draft, which they had to begin with, and they pick up Kansas City's 29th pick of the draft. So they've got two first-round picks this year in return, plus a next year they get an extra second-round draft pick, and then they swap thirds in next year's draft as well. So it's – or maybe in this year's draft. That's a little unclear to me right at this point. But Seattle gets a chance really to get a guy off their books and create – that, you know, leaves them with less drama on their roster, but trying to sign a really elite player. But it gives them a chance to add to their roster in a draft. And let's talk about – and let's jump right into that. Baldy, this draft is pretty deep in defensive linemen, particularly at the end of the first round.
Well, it's as deep as I can remember. I mean, we're going to see probably eight of the first 10 players on Thursday night's draft are going to be defensive players. And it's about as deep and strong a draft on defensive linemen, whether it's tackles, ends, outside pass rushers. I mean, there's a lot to like about this group. And so whether you're picking at 21 or 29, if that's what you're looking to add to your roster, you're going to have good options. A lot of them are going to go right at the very top. Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams, they're going to go real early in this draft, and they should. They're very, very good players, and I think they're going to be good pros. But, you know, they got two great linebackers in this draft, and Devin White and Devin Bush. And, I mean, there were some good middle linebackers drafted last year. You got one as well, but I haven't seen any of them that could run 4-4 yet. Mm-hmm. And that's what these guys can run. So, I mean, you're going to get – I mean, Seattle, if they want to, you know, restock that position and – they've lost a lot of guys into retirement and now free agency over the last 2 years. I mean, they're going to get a great opportunity to get some good young players.
Hey, I want to know about some of these defensive line prospects that you've looked at on video, Brian, including the guy that many people had as a projected first rounder, then came up with a knee injury, Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State. Where does that knee injury put him? Still a first rounder, maybe back into the first round? What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right, Murph. I mean, I think he's going to be a first rounder. I mean, I think he's a top five player in this draft if he's healthy. I mean, he's just a physically dominant player. I'm good friends with his defense line coach at Mississippi State, coached the NFL a long time, Brian Baker. He's now with Nick at Alabama. But just talking to him, what kind of player he was to coach, just country strong. I mean, physically, just manhandles people at the line of scrimmage. But he also stayed in college this year because he wanted to work on his quick escapes where he didn't have to muscle guys every down, and he did that this year. I thought he was... I mean, I think he's a top five player in this draft. You're probably going to have to redshirt him through October. You probably get him the second half of the season next year. And I think you'll get a guy that can come in and, you know, play well right away. But he is something to watch. Any Mississippi State game, I don't care if it's Kansas State or LSU or Alabama, you watch him play against really good offensive linemen. And he's the better of them on almost every play, every game.
So it sounds like to me that if – and we've seen this in past drafts, and I've been asking all our guests this, it's become vogue for teams to move around the top of the draft to try to move up or move down. We saw a bunch of it last year. Of course, it was a quarterback-driven draft. You don't think any movement's going to happen at the top of this draft because of defensive players, because there's so many good ones that are going to be available. If there's going to be a movement at the top of this draft, it's going to be about quarterbacks or some other kind of player, correct?
I think so, Steve. I mean, typically, you know, movement, you trade up to target a player. And so, especially in the top 10, I mean, you know, you look at, you know, the trade that Kansas City made 2 years ago for Patrick Mahomes or what Houston did for Deshaun Watson, you know, or even what Chicago and San Francisco did 2 years ago for Mitch Trubisky. I mean, those trades were all for quarterbacks. And so that may still happen in this draft. But I just think that because there's so much depth at defensive line that I don't think you have to, you know, go target one of these guys. I mean, I think you can wait. If you're the Raiders, you want to wait at four and, you know, pick up a defensive lineman. I think they'll, you know, they're going to have their pick of a lot of good players there if they just stay right there, if that's what they decide to do. the Jets, 49ers, they're all looking for defensive linemen. Everybody is. I mean, I think you just stay on Pat. I think you could get a good player. Now, if a good player, I don't know, let's say Ed Oliver or Rashawn Gary, you know, something happens and they start to drop, then I could see, you know, somebody from the back of the draft possibly trading up to go get, you know, maybe perhaps one of those two players, or if one of those linebackers, White or Bush, drops, I can see a team, you know, trading up to go get themselves the Mike linebacker of the future.
With NFL Network analyst Brian Baldinger, who's doing work all this week as the NFL Network covers the draft, here's a defensive lineman that we have not talked about on this show, but I know you've made note of him. He's considered an under-the-radar prospect, a Jersey guy from Temple University, Michael Dogby. What do you know about him, and what are his prospects? What do you think, Brian?
Well, he's been well-coached by both Matt Rhule, who's now at Baylor, and Jeff Collins, who's now at Georgia Tech. He wore a single-digit number nine this year, and they gave out single digits to the, you know, nine best players on the team. And Dogby got one of those this year. He's proud of it. He's very strong. He bench-pressed 34 times, 225. I think he could play outside, you know, in a 4-3 defense. I think he could play inside at defensive tackle. He had a lot of good visits with the Eagles and other teams around this league. He's a very determined player, and a player that's got good flexibility. I mean, I think you can get Mike Dogby probably in the third or fourth round, but I think you're going to get a really good player that's hungry, that you're never going to have to worry about, that's just going to work as long as the day is long. I mean, I think you're going to get a good prospect that's just going to improve at the NFL level.
Well, Baldy, you played in the league as an offensive lineman for a long time. Let's talk about the guys at the top of this draft. Most of the time, when you're talking about college guys coming out and playing NFL, most of them play left tackle and they're going to move from there. But what do you see at the top of this draft in offensive linemen?
I see a lot of good players, Steve. I don't know that I see a dominant player. I think a guy like Juwan Taylor at Florida, who's been a right tackle, has played a little left tackle there. He looks like he's, to me, he's the best of all of them. I mean, I think you could plug and play him at right tackle and you're going to get a possible Pro Bowl player. Greg Little at Mississippi, you know, was the left tackle for, you know, at Allen, Texas, you know, when they were undefeated for four straight years in a row. He's number one player in the country. He's been the left tackle at Ole Miss. I like him. I think he's a really polished player. I think he's an NFL prototypical left tackle. I don't know that I think he could be a dominant player. I think he needs to work a little harder at it and work on his technique more to become that guy. Andre Dillard at Washington State, Steve, is a really good player. He played in that air raid offense there, you know, for Mike Leach. So the ball comes out fast. You don't do a lot of run blocking, but he's got really good technique. He's got really good size and long arms, all that stuff you're looking for. The guy that everybody's kind of talking about, Jonah Williams at Alabama, he started every game there. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. I think, you know, his best position might be inside at guard. That's not unusual. We saw Zach Martin be a great left tackle. Notre Dame has been an all-pro guard with the Dallas Cowboys. I think Cody Ford at Oklahoma looks to me like he could be a really powerful all-pro guard. He's played guard, but he was the right tackle last year for Oklahoma. Had a good season. But he just looks like a massive right guard that, you know, could play that position for a long time.
Talk a little bit further down the line. You've got guys, and I don't know if you can name these guys off the top of your head, but you got guys like Chris Lindstrom from Boston College, Dalton Risner from K-State. When you get a little deeper into the first round, maybe into the mid-second round, are there still some guys who are going to put together good pro careers?
Yeah. I mean, Dalton Risner, you just mentioned him, Steve. I mean, he started every game at Kansas State, played his first year at center, started every game there. Been, you know, two-time captain and the starting right tackle for the last 3 years. I think I do Big 12 games every Saturday for the last 8 years. He's the best right tackle I've seen in the Big 12 in 8 years. Great guy. I mean, you know, just a solid professional work habits. I mean, I think he's going to be a really good pro. He can play guard or tackle, I think. I don't see anybody beating him. There's been some really good players, though, you know, a little bit further down. If you go to Northern Iowa or Northern Illinois, you go see Max Sharping. Go watch him against Florida State and Brian Burns this year. He shut him out. Yadi Kajust at West Virginia is a really good, great athlete out of Miami. Been the left tackle there at West Virginia for 3 years. I think he's a good player. Titus Howard at Alabama State's been the right tackle there. I don't know who coaches at Alabama State, but he's well coached. I think you get, you know, good solid players in this draft on the offensive line in the third and fourth rounds that are going to have long NFL careers.
Brian Baldinger, our guest from the NFL Network, getting ready to ramp it up with the NFL Network this weekend. They'll be in Nashville and, of course, at their headquarters in Los Angeles. I want to ask you about wide receiver prospects, Brian. And is it fair to say that there are, what, just a handful, maybe a couple of legitimate first-round wide receiver prospects coming off the board Thursday night? What do you think?
Yeah, probably, you know, maybe two. You know, probably right now Hollywood Brown probably is one of those, DK Metcalf. But I think there's a lot of good players in this draft. You know, I mean, Paris Campbell at Ohio State was a slot receiver there. Nobody in the history of Ohio State has ever caught 90 passes in a season. He ran a 4.3, 140. You know, he is an electric player. There's a lot of things you can do with him. He's probably a second-round pick. N'Keal Harry is my favorite wide receiver in this draft. He looks like a faster he's just a big, strong kid, man. He looks like a strong side linebacker, but I was with him last Friday at the NFL Network. I like him a lot. He can play inside or outside. He could be your kick returner. Hakeem Butler at Iowa State is the biggest receiver in this draft at 6'6". The wingspan of a condor, ran really well at the combine. Game-changing type player. Great red zone threat. A.J. Brown at Ole Miss, if you watched him at the combine, might be the most smooth, fluid wide receiver this whole draft. I just think there's probably 10 or 15 guys, whether they're, you know, second round, bottom of the first round, into the third round, that are going to be really good pros. I mean, they've had good college careers, a lot of production, and they've got great size, you know, a tremendous size, and they run well enough at the NFL level.
Would it be crazy for the Bills to consider, like, a DK Metcalf at 9 overall, first round?
It would be crazy. I mean, you know, you're getting a guy that's 6'4 and 230 pounds and, you know, runs like a defensive back. I mean, he's a little straight line. He's a little stiff for me, but, I mean, he's going to run by a lot of people. I don't think he's the most polished wide receiver, but he might be the most talented. I think, you know, if you're Hollywood Brown, you know, he's coming off a foot injury, but, I mean, he's the most electrifying receiver in this draft. Now, you know, people don't want to draft a 170-pound guy dripping wet, you know, to be an elite player. But, I mean, he's going to change the game probably day one in the NFL. I mean, people are going to realize just how fast this guy is and how quickly he gets to top speed, whether it's running a shallow cross or a go route or a double move. I mean, he's just a lightning bug out there. And, you know, I mean, DK Metcalf at 9, if you're looking to build around, you know, Josh Allen, I would say, you know, either Hockenson or Metcalf wouldn't be bad selections, or maybe Juwan Taylor. I mean, pick an offensive lineman, a wide receiver, you know, I mean, to build around that quarterback, I think it would be smart moves.
And I know you've written a little bit about another receiver, not a first-round prospect, obviously, but Deebo Samuel, South Carolina. You like him, right, from what I've read on your Twitter feed?
He's a lot to like. He's as strong as anybody in this draft. He looks like a stud running back at wide receiver, you know, from the waist down. He's just very powerful. He wants to return kicks. You know, he's returned a bunch of them, 4 of them for touchdowns in his college career. He wants to do that part of it. You know, I mean, they weren't a great team, but he was a great player on an average team. But he, you know, you watch him against the national champions, Clemson Tigers. You know, he caught 12 balls for 210 yards and 3 touchdowns that day. Clemson couldn't do anything to slow him down. He's just one of those guys, I think you can get him in the second round that, you know, I think you're going to be really happy with.
Is there a position group that is almost non-existent in this draft? Is there, I mean, I know there's only like 2 or 3 quarterbacks that are listed at the top of this, maybe 4. But is there any quarter or any, you know, position group that is, you know, lacking in this draft? If you need one, this is the wrong year to need one?
Well, I would say, you know, if you're looking for a middle linebacker, Steve, I think there were 5 taken in the first round last year.
Right.
And you got one of them. I mean, I think there's Devin White and Devin Bush, and I think there's a big drop after those two guys. In fact, you might not see another inside linebacker drafted after those two in the first round until the third round. Maybe Jermaine Pratt out of, you know, or Mac Wilson, right. One of those two guys maybe in the third round. But, I mean, there's a big drop-off after Devin White and Devin Bush at that position.
Hey, Baldy, why do I get the sense that today's trade, the Frank Clark trade, is just the precursor for what's going to be kind of a fun couple of days here? I think people will be making moves all over the place, no?
Well, I mean, they, you never know. I mean, I know just talking to you know, a team yesterday, they were spent the entire day going over potential trade scenarios or if something happens, what they're going to do, and just getting ready for every scenario. I mean, the quarterbacks always drive the majority of the trades. I don't think it's a great crop of quarterbacks. But, you know, we've seen quarterbacks overdrafted before. So, you know, if they feel like, you know, Drew Lock or Daniel Jones is a top-flight guy and a first-round pick and you get 5 years in the first round for him, then teams are probably going to, you know, they may, you know, move to try and get him. But Miami looks like they're going to stay pat at 13. They're not going to take one. And, you know, is Josh Rosen, you know, is he going to get traded between now and Thursday night? And that takes another one off the board. So I just don't know how many of them are going to get traded for.
It's going to be fun. We're going to enjoy watching it. Hey, Baldy, thanks for this. We'll talk to you again. Have a great week there on the network. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care now.
All right, thanks, Baldy.
Ryan Balding, our network analyst, NFL Network, does Baldy's breakdowns on NFL.com. You can see some of his great video breakdowns of some of these draft prospects. 11 seasons in the NFL with the Cowboys, the Colts, and the Eagles. A little cup of coffee with the Buffalo Bills. Good guy. He's become kind of a essential guy in analyzing the draft now and even during the regular season. The video breakdowns that he does, exactly. Are really good.
And it's easy. It's nice, too, because the guy played.
Yeah.
And he played at a high level for a long time, and he knows what he's looking at. And it's fun. You know, even for a guy like me, I don't spend too much time. And he knows about hand placement, hand work, footwork, and all how that all works together. And like you said as well, and you know the coaches at the NFL level do this, too. One of the things that Baldy says, you can tell this kid's been coached.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's a really significant step in a kid's progression when you can tell somebody has had an effect on the way he plays. Some of these guys get out there and they're maulers and they do all this stuff. But when you get a kid who has been coached, you know that you can coach him too. He's going to listen to your coaching. He listens to what he's told. He does what he knows his scheme, knows what he's trying to do, knows why he's trying to do what he's doing, being told to do, and he gets it done. That's the mark of a pro, a guy who is given a plan and he executes it with some skill. That's a big step, and it's something that a lot of coaches will admit to and look for as well.
We thank Brian Baldinger. You'll see him all weekend long on NFL Network. Hey, this was a question I asked this break before we went to the break at the top of the hour. I thought it was kind of a really fascinating trivia type question. James Palmer, NFL Network, came up with this. I think I've seen it somewhere else before, but if Kyler Murray is picked in the first round Thursday night, he will be the first athlete to ever be a first round pick in both the Major League Baseball and NFL drafts. The first. Three others came close. Do you remember who we talked about before?
Yeah, I remember. There was only one that really surprised me.
Well, the one I spit out right away was Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson, that was an easy one.
Second round Major League Baseball pick and a first in the NFL.
Right.
Should I go through? I'm trying to think who would surprise you. John Elway.
John Elway didn't surprise me.
Right,
he played
baseball up here in upstate New York.
The third one, the snake, did.
Yeah, Kenny Stabler.
Kenny Stabler was close. Second round in both the MLB and NFL. I didn't know he was a baseball player at all.
Yeah.
And he was that got me.
It's a cool question.
Yeah, it's a very cool question. A lefty. I imagine he was either – what, is he a pitcher?
Probably a pitcher.
Or with a quarterback with a good arm, lefty?
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, Steve and I did this in the first hour of the show. We will revisit, along with our Twitter question, what's the best-case scenario for the Bills Thursday night in the first round? What do you have? We'll read some tweets on the tweet sheet, and we'll take some phone calls about that. And you may want to react to, we did a little exercise. Who are the Bills going to wind up with first round Thursday night, first pick Thursday night? Who do you think? Steve gave four, I gave four. We have a gang of eight. We will recap that group when we come back. We think we have the Bills' first pick in that group of eight, but maybe not. We're going to look bad if we don't.
I am absolutely a reverse barometer. If I pick the four guys that they're going to take, none of them are going to get chosen. I am never right.
We'll get in depth in that when we come back, plus NFL True and False. Come on back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with John Murphy here at One Bills Drive. We're talking about the NFL draft. We got caught in a deep conversation, and I made it back before Murph did, so I brought us back from
here. I'm okay.
Yeah. I knew. I just didn't want to leave people hanging.
So the Frank Clark trade is made, in case you missed that. Seattle trades away Frank Clark to Kansas City for a 2019 first-round pick this year's 29th, a 2020 second-round pick, and they're flipping third-round picks this year. And the Chiefs have gone ahead, they probably did this before the trade, and struck a new deal with Frank Clark, who had contract issues in Seattle. The Chiefs and Frank Clark reach agreement on a five-year, $105.5 million contract. greater total than DeMarcus Lawrence with $63.5 million guaranteed. Man, that's a lot of money for a pass rush guy.
That is a
holy
lot.
Cow.
That's a lot of money.
5 years, $105.5 million. $63.5 million guaranteed.
Wow.
Right? I mean, you're used to huge numbers for quarterbacks.
He had 13 sacks this last year. Phew. He was good. He was good. No question. He is good.
Yeah.
And he's going to be good for the Chiefs, but they're going to pay him the money to be good.
Steve and I spent a big chunk of the first hour of the show going through our dart throwing exercise. Because, look, I don't know who they're going to pick on Thursday night. Do you?
No.
We don't know. But we have a feeling of who belongs there and who might fit the bill for the Bills. So we asked the question of ourselves, who are the Bills going to wind up with in the on the first day? Steve came up with four names. I came up with four names. We alternated. We made sure we didn't have the same four. What we arrived at were eight names. And we believe, as best we can guess, that the Bills are going to get one of these eight. Steve picked offensive lineman Jonah Williams of Alabama, offensive tackle Andre Dillard of Washington State, tight end T.J. Hockenson of Iowa, defensive end Rashawn Gary of Michigan. I picked wide receiver D.K. Metcalf, Ole Miss, defensive tackle Ed Oliver of Houston, defensive end Montez Sweat, Mississippi State, defensive tackle Christian Wilkins of Clemson. What do you think of that? Who are we missing from that list? Is there a ninth player? Somebody suggested on Twitter, should have gone nine. The Bills have the ninth pick. We could have. I didn't want to keep adding names because then it gets easier.
Yeah.
We're hanging out there a little bit. The Bills pick might not be on that list, those eight.
The real question was, too, that when we started this exercise at, you know, this morning, like 9:30 or quarter to 10, we started writing these names down, and we had overlapping. I mean, I had Ed Oliver on my list as well.
I had Hockenson on my list of
right,
four.
Right, and yeah. You had your Hockenson on yours. So if we went down to it, I mean, we got some overlap there. There's probably only five different names on our list.
Originally. Yeah.
That's not true. We probably had six.
Okay.
Probably had six.
What do you think? Who are
you
missing?
You had two on yours that I took off, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I had at least one.
That might be our go-to for Thursday this show. Right? As we come on the air at 8 o'clock
on
Thursday
the more you
night,
cut it down, the less chance you have of being right here, my man.
Yes, but the better chance you have of being brilliant.
All right.
At 8 o'clock, we're coming on the air at 8 o'clock, and just between you and me, we're going to have our little list honed down to the guys we had.
Honed my list down to four.
I know, but you had to take some guys off. You had to take Jonah Williams off.
Yeah.
Right?
And Hockenson
off. So we both have Jonah Williams and Hockenson on. I had Ed Oliver on. So there's three right there.
I'm not in favor. There's going to be negotiations here. I'm not in favor of cutting my list anymore.
Well, it's not your list. It's our list.
You can cut in. No,
see, our list is out on a limb with a saw behind us sawing it off.
You're comfortable in that position, I guess.
Yeah, I don't have a problem there. I've been there.
What do you think about that list? What do you think as far as the best-case scenario for the Bills in the first round on Thursday night? What do you think? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You got a tweet on the tweet sheet from Ronnie. He says, this draft is deep with tight ends and defensive linemen. That said, I think ideal would be trade back, pick up an extra second-rounder, and get Hockenson in the first round and then a D-lineman in the second. Go for that. I would take that.
Yeah.
It won't be one of the premier defensive linemen in the second, but as you say, and you're right, it's a deep defensive line crop, we are told.
Think about this. Now, there are some teams behind the Bills deep in this first round who might be interested in trading in one or two of those draft picks and some other stuff that we've all talked about and getting up into where the Bills are, the top 10. Teams like the Raiders, they pick at number 4, then they pick at number 24 and number 27. The Bills could say, okay, you take our number 9 pick, we'll take your 24 and your 27, and we'll make our picks then. They could do it now. Think about this. They could look at Seattle, and Seattle could say, listen, we want the number 9 overall pick. We'll give you our 21st pick and the 29th pick that we just got from Kansas City. So you can pick at 21 and 29 if you give us the number 9 overall pick. Are those viable options for the Bills to drop back into the 20s for the number 9 pick with either Kansas City or Oakland? I'm not saying Kansas City, with Seattle or Oakland. So those teams have, you know, extra picks that they could do. Green Bay, if Green Bay wanted to move up to number 9, they could move up from number 12 to number 9, and Green Bay would still have the 30th pick in the first round of the pack. So there's teams with multiple first-round picks, and it's Oakland, it's Seattle now as of today, and Green Bay. So lots going on. You know, the Giants have two first-round picks. They're at number 5, or no, I'm sorry, the Giants are at number 6, and the Giants are at number 17. So there's teams with multiple first-round picks. They could use them to get up into the first round, trade with Buffalo plus a second rounder. So there are some options out there. But like that, if Buffalo is willing to do that, wants to do that, one of those teams is probably the only candidates to do that. You've heard, I forwarded you this last night, Houston and Carolina have been linked to the Bills because of the relationships of the executives, to maybe the Bills will deal with them and move up or back or in the draft. I don't know. I haven't heard. We aren't hearing anything.
Yeah. That's just dot connecting. I'm not impressed by that.
How many people in this building right now, I know you and I aren't two of them. How many people know who the Bills are going to select? If everything stays as is, static above them, how many people know the order of the guys that they're actually in the money?
Two or three, I think, in the building.
Three tops.
Probably.
Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean.
Joe Shane.
You think Joe Shane does?
Yeah.
All right, there's three.
Get him on the phone.
Yeah.
Get him on the show.
Yeah. Nobody else will probably know.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Morgan probably doesn't know. He may, but I'll bet you they don't. I'll bet you they keep that pretty close to the vest. Yeah. You got teams like the Raiders sending everybody out of the building so they don't talk. So they don't know.
Take a look at the parking lot. See whose cars are here.
Exactly.
Let's go to Tom in West Seneca. Hello, Tom. You're on the air.
Murph, Steve, Sit. Thanks for having me. I see you guys. Steve picked Rashawn Gary, a defensive player. And, Murph, you've got Oliver, Sweat, and Wilkins. I think it's going to be a defensive player that they'll go for. I think that they'll fill the void on offense with free agency. Now, that all being said, I would like to make a comment about this Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
He's clearly tailing a quarterback, but I think it would be a pick for the Giants to take him because you never know about these smaller quarterbacks. It would be a gamble, and if he failed, then the Giants fans would be all over the Giant.
Yeah, gentlemen, they're already all over him. This is going to be an interesting pick draft for the Giants. Thursday night's going to be interesting based on what's come before last year's draft in particular.
Yeah, the Giants are being scrutinized big time, and they are on thin ice with their fans, I think, to a large degree. How they've handled Eli, the fans are a little bit more done with Eli than the organization seems to be. They passed on all the quarterbacks last year, and there were four of them in the first round. The Giants could have had just about any one of the four, certainly three of the four, if they had wanted them. And they passed on all of them because they've got Eli Manning on their roster. They took Saquon Barkley. There's a lot about the Giants that has their fans scratching their heads, to be kind. Dave Gettleman has got to, you know, get something done in this draft. It's time for the Giants to, you know, come out of mediocrity in the regular season and get into the playoffs and maybe win that division. Their fans are ready for that. They feel like it's time to do that. If they're going to do that with Eli Manning, they got to support him and give him some help up front, and we'll see if they can do that. But, yeah, you're right, Tom. The Giant fans – I don't think Kyler Murray is even an option for that organization right now.
Let's squeeze in one more call. Jim in Pittsburgh. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Murph, Steve. Great show.
Thanks.
And, if you're still counting another vote for Steve for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we don't add those up anymore. We think we've reached a consensus. It's unanimous.
Great. And this is my favorite time of year because I guess hope springs eternal, as the old saying goes. And I always find myself reflecting on, you know, the glory years and, you know, how can we bring it back. And the one thing I, you know, from my childhood, I always remember is thinking, God, just get the ball to the offense. And, you know, Jim will move it down the field and get some points, you know, and we can win, you know, no matter the situation. But the truth is that you know, those teams were great because they were a full team, right? I mean, they were strong on every three phase, and you had Bruce Smith bringing the heat on the defense. So it leads me to, you know, I'm really torn with this draft because, you know, although we were a top five in defense, I really feel like we do need some explosiveness on defense in the middle to, you know, penetrate the pocket and be able to, you know, get to Brady, for example, quickly and other quarterbacks. You know, I get the same feeling, you know, with Josh Allen, even though he's a little bit you know, he's still got to prove it totally, right, with this season, I think. But I get the same feeling with him is that get him the ball. He's so athletic and explosive that, you know, he can bring the ball down the field. But I do feel like he needs more weapons around him. And so that's why I would lean towards Hoskins, I think, just because it's kind of like a twofer. You know, you have more help on the line to, you know, help the running game, which was weak last year. But, and also you've got an outlet in the passing game.
Hockenson, you're saying, the tight end, Iowa tight end.
Yeah.
I get that.
I get you, and you're right. It is – that was going into the off season something the Bills painfully needed to address. They went through the entire free agency market and got a ton of offensive linemen, signed two quality wide receivers, albeit, you know, a lot of people – the criticism would be they don't have a big-time number one guy on the outside yet. But they did fill that room with a couple of really good veterans and some quality free agents and some guys that could be good but are at this point you'd have to say they're a little bit of a roll of the dice. So I think this offseason has been about making the offense better, and I think the only reason people have gotten full circle to talking about, hey, replacing Kyle Williams, getting him some explosive guys on the defensive front, is because they feel really good about what the Bills have done in free agency. But let's face it, when this season offseason started, helping Josh Allen was job one. And I think it still should be in my heart of hearts.
And I think they've taken a big step forward in that direction too.
Oh, absolutely. The free agent moves. Absolutely. I think Mitch Morse was a brilliant signing. Ty Nsekhe is where the guys from Pro Football Focus on. They said he's the best swing tackle available, maybe in the NFL, a guy who can come in and do that. But I still think
Brown and Beasley, big additions.
Brown and Beasley were huge additions. Tyler Croft is a tight end that is a pass catching tight end. So they have made some strides with Frank Gore and all of that, with TJ Yeldon. So they've added some guys on that side of the ball, particularly up front. I don't know if I believe in my heart that they've got enough up front. I would like to draft a big time tackle or guard up front just to make it just that much more solidified up there.
We're going to break. We're back with more. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Okay, so what have we learned from today's show? Brought to you by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. What did we learn? Gary Gramley was on the show with us. He is a NFL editor, writer for SportsIllustrated.com, and he has a mock draft. He says the mock draft for the people, he called it. And in his mock draft, he has the Bills going with Mississippi Ole Miss wide receiver DK Metcalf. Here's what he said about that.
DK Metcalf, just culturally, I think he slides into that Bills locker room so easily. He's humble. I know everyone saw the shirtless picture and they might have thoughts about him. He's a very humble kid. He's from a very devout family. I think as most of us know, faith is very important to Sean McDermott. I think he slides in there so easily. And look, he's a college town kid. And, you know, with all the stupid, unfair stereotypes about Western New York and the Buffalo area, the guys who end up going there and loving it always say, you know, oh, it felt just like a college town. I think DK fits so cleanly on the field, in the locker room, in the community. I'd love to see him land there.
It's Gary Gramling from Sports Illustrated. Also on the show just a couple of minutes ago this hour, Brian Baldinger from NFL Network joined us. He has crunched a ton of video about these draft prospects. And we asked him about an interesting defensive tackle prospect, Jeffrey Simmons, who because of a knee injury may slip way down in the first round. Here's what he said.
I think he's going to be a first rounder. I mean, I think he's a top five player in this draft if he's healthy. I mean, he's just a physically dominant player. I'm good friends with his defense line coach at Mississippi State, coached the NFL a long time, Brian Baker. He's now with Nick at Alabama. But just talking to him, what kind of player he was to coach, just country strong. I mean, physically, just manhandles people at the line of scrimmage. But he also stayed in college this year because he wanted to work on his quick escapes where he didn't have to muscle guys every down, and he did that this year. I thought he was, I mean, I think he's a top five player in this draft. You're probably going to have to redshirt him through October. You'll probably get him the second half of the season next year. And I think you'll get a guy that can come in and, play well right away.
So Simmons is country strong. Country strong. I play golf with my brother, and he'll hit a decent drive, and he says, I'm just country strong. Right? That's just baloney. Somebody describe. You can't self-describe yourself as country strong.
Country strong. Yeah. Unless you're talking about your odor or something.
More on the draft coming up tomorrow, obviously, as we count down to the draft. We're 2 days away. Steve and I will be here Thursday night to cover the draft on radio coverage only, 8 p.m. Tomorrow's show, Joe Biscaglia, Joe B. from Channel 7, draft expert that he is. He'll join us for one last look at his mock draft. And T.J. Yeldon, new Bills running back, is going to join us tomorrow as well. You up for that tomorrow?
I am. That'll be a good show. I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. Today was good, too. Thanks for tuning
in. It was very energetic.
Want to thank our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. See you tomorrow at noon right here from One Bills Drive, One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.